Good morning. Thank you for your attendance. My name is Andrew Sutherland. I work with Dr. Michael Perella at the University of California, Davis. And for several years now, we've been evaluating a native Mycophagus coccinellid for possible biological control and decision support of powdery mildew fungi in various horticultural and agricultural crops. Today, I'd like to present to you a spinoff of this work, and that is the evaluation of the possibility for mechanical transmission of powdery mildew fungi by this same group of Mycophagus coccinellids. First, some background on powdery mildew. Powdery mildew is the common name for an entire order of fungi, the Erysiphales, all of which are obligate plant parasites. And as an order, these fungi infect over 10,000 angiosperm plants worldwide. Even though the host range is rather large in this respect, each species of powdery mildew tends to be rather host specific, often attacking a single species or genus or rarely family of host plants. And this infection can, of course, lead to reductions in yield and aesthetic quality of these crops, which makes this an important issue for crop managers worldwide. As a result, extensive chemical management is used for powdery mildew, and as a result of that chemical management, we have common problems such as resistance in the fungi to these chemicals and effects of the chemicals on non-target hosts. So biological control may offer some solutions to these challenges that are created by chemical management of powdery mildew. And in fact, there are already several commercially available microbial agents against powdery mildew that can be used against powdery mildew. For instance, the microbial antagonist Bacillus subtilis and the fungal hyperparasite Ampelomyces. However, only recently have arthropods been considered as actual consumers of powdery mildew. Many are unaware that there is an entire tribe of coccinellid beetles, the Halazyini, that are all obligate consumers of powdery mildew at all life stages. They have been shown to consume Conidia, hyphae, and Conidia 4s, and have been demonstrated to reduce Conidia in a measurable way. In Western North America, we have this species, Psyllobora vegente maculata, and some general descriptive biology has elucidated the life cycle to contain the typical four larval instars, a pupa, a pre-ovipositional period, and an alate adult that is that disperses readily. And about 280 degree days are required for development from egg to adult. So Psyllobora as a genus has several desirable attributes in terms of biological control, in terms of indication. They are obligated to feed on powdery mildew, as I mentioned before. They do have a tendency to aggregate as larvae and feed as a group. They can remove measurable amounts of powdery mildew hyphae and spores through their feeding. And what's really interesting is this is a cosmopolitan genus. So basically anywhere in the world that we have a problem with powdery mildew, we typically find a member of this genus that that feeds upon it. So as a result of this, over the past several years, we have been investigating different applications of this insect for powdery mildew management, including indication, reduction of spores, prevention of outbreaks, and the more questionable applications of inundative release and cleanup of post-harvest materials. However, over the years, I have received several important criticisms because of my lack to evaluate this possibility of transmission. When you look at these insects under the microscope, you can see their bodies are coated with conidia, and in fact, they are feeding in areas that are dense with powdery mildew conidia, and the adults at least can fly readily to uninfected plants if they see fit. So there is this distinct possibility for mechanical transmission, and I realized that the tests were necessary. So first, let's look back at one aspect of powdery mildew disease and its life cycle, the asexual stage, which is the predominant stage in most of our crops, outdoor crops as well as greenhouse crops. So this asexual stage is transmission through conidia. And the conidia are transferred via wind or disturbance of the leaves. So in any powdery mildew system, inoculum is not usually limiting, and we have lots of conidia available in the air column. So the question here is, can members of this beetle tribe contribute to powdery mildew incidence and severity through mechanical transmission? And the specific hypothesis here, if the beetles do contribute to severity through transmission, then similar plots of uninfected plants, when in the presence of infected plants, will exhibit higher levels and rates of infection when these beetles are also present. And this is, of course, when all environmental conditions are held constant. So in order to investigate this, we set up a simple growth chamber experiment with young Zinnia elegans, a composite floricultural crop, within two controlled environment chambers. The plants were grown in a soilless hydroponic media and irrigated through drip irrigation. The chamber was divided in the middle with a polyethylene sheet, and this is so we could compare the two sides of the chamber directly, but exclude beetles from one side. The airflow was constant from bottom to top. We put 24 plants in each chamber half, and these were uninfected, clean plants, and subsequently introduced five infected plants, replaced five of the uninfected with infected plants, and then in one half of each chamber, 25 adult beetles were released. So this is a depiction here of the growth chamber, how it was divided. And this is more of a graphical depiction of the growth chamber. So the green circles represent clean plants. The red circles are infected plants that were introduced into the chambers. And of course, one half received 25 adult beetles and the other half received no beetles. So the data collection involved tracking of powdery mildew severity over time. It's important to realize here that each chamber half is an experimental unit, and so each plant is a subsample which is nested within this, and it's in a way a form of pseudo-replication. The powdery mildew severity was assessed over a three-week period at each week, each 7 days, through digital photography that was coupled with an image analysis software. And this software enabled us to separate pixels by saturation level and assess a percentage powdery mildew. And at the end of the experiment, at the end of the 3 weeks, plants were removed and spore solutions were made of each plant to directly assess spore density. So this is just an illustration of how this program works. The program is called ASSESS. It's put out by the American Phytopathological Society. And what it does is it separates the pixels digitally and assigns a percentage. In this case, we have about 12% infection. This shows different degrees of infection. And the spore solutions were made on a hemocytometer, which is usually used to count blood cells. A pipette was used to introduce a spore solution, and spores were counted and expressed as number of spores per square centimeter of plant. So initially, the powdery mildew was similar in both treatments. And at the end of the 3 weeks, the powdery mildew severity was also very similar in both treatments. Here's a depiction of progression of disease over time. So this is week one. We see the scale on the bottom here. So the white circles are severe infection, yellow moderate infection, after 2 weeks and after 3 weeks. The spore solutions also show no differences in terms of number of spores per square centimeter. So the general conclusions here, the treatments, first of all, were never different significantly in terms of incidence or severity over time. So the general conclusion is that mechanical transmission may occur, and it's definitely possible, but natural aerial transmission appears to overwhelm its effect. So definitely more work is needed. One idea I have is to introduce spore-laden beetles onto clean plants and introduce a known spore quantity as an air puff as a control to compare aerial transmission versus mechanical transmission by the insects. And of course, the spore solutions are also valuable tools. I need to use these more in the future. I would like to thank my collaborators and contributors and open up the floor for any questions. Thank you. The question is whether I think I should repeat the experiment based on what I've observed. This data that I showed here is a result of two repeats in time. I think I would like to play around with the methods a little bit more. I do think that at least based on these methods, the results are pretty clear that there's not a difference. Again, I'd like to play around with spore-laden beetles versus infected plants as inoculum. Yes, sir.
I know you didn't really touch on this, but what's the importance of these insects in an agronomic system where the threshold, I mean, powdery mildew is usually treated preventatively?
Yes, sir.
What role do these, do they or could they actually play in terms of biological control?
Well, there's different ways to look at this. These insects are obligated to feed on powdery mildew. So if we have a closed system, such as a greenhouse, then they're pretty much stuck there and they have to eat powdery mildew or else they die. So in a greenhouse situation, I think biological control could be a possibility if the ratio is correct, the release ratio is correct. In an agronomic situation where you have an open environment, I think natural populations of the insect are not going to be able to keep up with natural populations of the fungus. But in agronomic situations, we're looking at the idea of indication and decision support. Because in nature, the insects are very good at locating isolated and sometimes low-density powdery mildew infection and can actually act as kind of scouts to show you where the infection may be in a large, say, a vineyard. Okay, no more questions. Thank you so much.